The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Healing. We're studying healing. And it's so important that you understand the subject of healing. Because like I always say, you need that teaching. You either need it now, or you need it later. You know, I was talking to someone yesterday, and the person said, did you observe that in recent times, things we call cancer have actually increased in our days? Some of you can recall growing up, you only hear about cancer in movies. It looked like white people's sickness. Glory to God. But now, everywhere. And that's why it's important that you understand the subject of healing and divine health. Because if you don't understand it, whether you understand it or not, sicknesses are increasing in the world. Are you following me? And so, we've been teaching on this. And last week, on Thursday, I took time to show us something very powerful. Remember Thursday teaching? What was I teaching on? Developing a strong spirit. And that will help you stay strong and enjoy your healing. Today, I will just narrow it down to how to receive your healing. So, if you are now sick, if you are sick now, under the sound of my voice, or any day you become sick, or you know anyone that is sick, how can you help the person? That is how. Because one thing we must have understood in all our teaching so far is that the problem has never been with God. The problem has always been with man. And it's always been with man being able to receive what God has given. Let me give you an example. Salvation. God has given us salvation, right? How many people did God give salvation? The whole world. Are all men saved? No. But has salvation been given to all men? Yes. So what is the problem? Men don't still know how to receive salvation that God has given. And it's just that pattern. And as it is in salvation, it is in every other gift of God. God gives freely. Man has not learned how to receive. That's why every Christian must learn the balance of grace and faith. I get what I'm saying? Grace is what God does. He is his ability. He gives graciously. Everything that comes from God comes on the basis of his grace. Salvation, grace, he just gave you freely. You don't have to merit, you don't have to pay. Even healing. I was talking about it on the first day. How healing is an act of God's mercy. Do you remember that? Even healing is just his grace. But grace alone is not enough for you to have everything you need to have. Because grace makes it available. Faith is not how you receive what grace has given. So how do you receive salvation? God just gave us salvation freely. But why will each person receive it? For God so loved the world, that he gives only begotten Son, grace. That whosoever believeth in him, faith. Are you guys following me this morning? So you must learn to, the same with healing. God gives healing. Man must learn how to engage faith to receive healing from God. If not, you will still be sick and there is healing waiting. You know what it looks like? Maybe you are dirty. You've not had your bath for long. And I keep water and I keep soap. And yet you don't take the soap and apply it on your body. You will still be dirty. You know, somebody asked Rehad Bonnke this question a long time ago. And he gave this answer. Somebody asked him, because he was preaching on the blood of Jesus, and the person said, if the blood of Jesus is as powerful as you say it is, how come there are still many sinners in the world? How come many people are still, how come there is still sin in the world? And Bokey answered the very answer just this way. Said, why is it that there are many soap companies in the world and yet people are still dirty? The reason is simple. They've not said applying the soap to their body. Are you guys following me this morning at all? So God gives, man must receive. So you must learn how to receive. To start with, you must know that, like I've always said from the first day, it is God's will to heal at all times. It's always God's will to heal. One of the things I told you on the first day, if I remember, is that one of the proofs we have that is always God's will to heal is if you look at the healing ministry of Jesus. And there are many places in the Bible, up to 15 or more places in the Bible, where the Bible tells us about Jesus, that he healed everybody that came to see him. He healed them. Many places. Matthew 4 verse 23. I'll just go through some of them. Matthew 4 verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And in verse 24, the Bible tells us, and the same went around. Of course, they brought everyone that was sick and he healed them. In Matthew 8 and verse 16, I'll just say in the book of Matthew and then one in the book of Mark. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed how many? Talk to me, how many? All that were sick. So there was not one person he didn't heal. All that were sick. So maybe we'll say it's always God's way to heal. Will God always heal everybody? Bible said he healed all. Are you following me? Chapter 9 verse 35. I can show you again and again. Just to lay this foundation. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Think of those words. Every, all. Are you following me? Every sickness, every disease. 12 verse 15. Matthew 12 verse 15. Every sickness, every disease. When Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from them, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. He healed them all. He healed them all. That's why I told you, you know, that when you look at the miracles recorded in the four Gospels, those are not all the miracles of Jesus. Those are not even up to one tenth. It's not even up to one over 50 or one over whatever of the miracles of Jesus. Look at all these records. This is why I picked the book of Matthew, is to show you that it's in the same book. Because if you see it in Matthew and see it in Mark, it looks like maybe Matthew wrote and Mark is repeating. Like what I'm saying? The same book. He healed them all. In chapter 14, verse 14 of Matthew. 14 and verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Chapter 14 again, verse 34. He healed their sick. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. Okay. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. All that were diseased. And besought him that they might only touch them of his garment, and as many as were touched. As many as touched, you are made perfectly whole. So it wasn't only that woman with the issue of blood that got healed by touching Jesus' garment. They just recorded that one for a reason. Are you following what I'm saying? It was a normal thing. People would come around and touch his garment and get healed. Bible said everyone that touched. It's not like some touched and some did not touch. Once you touch, you are fine. Are you guys following what I'm saying? So you see, consistent in the ministry of Jesus, he had a culture of healing all. Every sickness. All. Can I show you some more? Chapter 15 verse 30. Chapter 15 verse 30. And a great multitudes came unto him, having them, those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Verse 31. He healed them. In so much that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, okay, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, they glorified. So I was so amazed. He healed them, everyone that came to him.
He healed them. Okay? In chapter 19 and verse 2 of Matthew. Chapter 19 and verse 2. And great multitude followed him, and he healed them there. I get the point. Chapter 21 and verse 4. Every great multitude, when they come, there was nobody who said, no, I'm not going to heal you. I'll just pick some I can heal. Amen. Go to verse 3. Verse 3. Okay. Okay, leave this. Mark chapter 1 verse 32. I think I missed that part. Mark chapter 1 verse 32. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and all that were possessed with devils. Verse 33. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of devil's disease and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils too because they knew him. You see, records. Are you still here? So when you see the number of people recorded, I just showed you in the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, I showed you actually 15 places in the book of Matthew alone. 15 places. One in Mark. 15 places in Matthew where he healed everybody that came. So, and these are different villages, different cities. So if you put together the number of persons that Jesus healed in his ministry, they could be totaling to, I get your point. They get to, in a particular case, they go to a village, people went and announced and gathered sick people all over, and he healed them all. So when you are coming to Jesus for healing, never think that he will be selective of whether he will heal you or not. Are you following me, everybody? He heals all. And so what you now need to master is how to receive that healing and not how to make God heal you. That's the point I'm trying to make. We do not learn how to make God heal us, how to make God give us healing. You can't make God to give you healing. Healing is what he has given as an act of his grace. Because most times when people want to know how to receive healing, they end up teaching how to qualify for healing. And there is nothing like that. There's nothing like that. Everyone qualifies for healing. Are you in church this morning? Everyone. So that is how to receive your healing. So you don't learn how to make God heal you. You don't learn how to make healing flow. You learn how to receive the healing that God has given. Say, my God is a healer. You learn how to receive the healing that God has given. Number one, how do I receive my healing? You must hear the word. You must hear the word. This is actually the basic and the most important part of receiving your healing. You must hear the word. You must hear the word. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 15. Sorry, Luke chapter 5 rather. Luke chapter 5 and verse 15. So much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitude came together to hear and to be healed by him of the infirmities. Look at the other. They came to hear and to be healed. People today just come to be healed. The multitude came to hear and to be healed. I get the point. They came to hear. So Jesus actually did have a healing ministry without the teaching ministry. It was his teaching ministry that bettered his healing ministry. They came to hear and to be healed. And that's why most people just want to be healed. They don't want to hear. And like I've always said since started this service, even if at all they receive that healing, there is always a gap. They may not be able to sustain it or to hold on to it. They may not be able to come against the devil the next time he comes against them. They came to hear and be healed. But Agi has a small book he called Hear and Be Healed. Hear and be healed is from the scripture. They came to hear and be healed. In Luke 6 verse 17. Luke chapter 6 and verse 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain. And the company of disciples and the great multitude of people came out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. They came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. So they didn't just come to be healed, they came to hear him. It is hearing that will produce healing. Listen, that's why if you do not enjoy listening to God's word a lot and a lot, you are not going to be able to enjoy the gifts of God. It's not like it's the healing, that the hearing that will make God heal you, but it is the hearing that will even start by putting faith in your heart to be able to even believe for the healing. So there is hearing that precedes healing. Are you following what I'm saying, everybody? So they came to hear, and like my note, I say this is the most important. In the journey of healing, this is the most important. Hearing. Because at the end of the day, when we begin to pray for you, it is what is in your spirit, it is the word you've received that is going to work. That's why for me, when people fall sick here and they try to say, oh, it's impossible and all that, the first thing I do is I give you something to listen to. Stay on it. Because it is hearing that we produce healing. And that's why I was saying it on Thursday, you must always be in church. Because as you keep taking in God's word into your system, anytime you will need healing, you might not need to go over the process of let me go and hear and hear and hear again. You've heard enough word in your system that when we now want to pray for you, you've heard something. The question is, what have you heard? Look at Mark chapter 5 verse 25. Mark 5 verse 25. They came to hear and be healed. But there is a certain woman which is an issue of blood 12 years and has suffered many things of many physicians, has spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press. So what made that woman come to touch the hem of Jesus' garment? She heard. Do you get what I'm saying? She heard of Jesus. So what information did he hear about Jesus? Possibly people told her how Jesus had healed. People told her how Jesus had saved. She heard. It was the information that entered her system that now made her say, I can go receive my healing. So what precedes healing is hearing. And that's why if you don't pay attention to hearing God's word a lot, many things of God that he has prepared for you will elude you. Many. And what I'm teaching is actually also a principle even in prosperity. You want to enjoy financial prosperity, it starts by hearing. It doesn't start by shouting, I claim. What are you claiming? What do you know that you want to claim? So they came to hear and be healed. So she heard of Jesus. She now came. And when you hear that she heard of Jesus, she didn't hear that Jesus was passing by. Even if she heard that Jesus was passing by, there must have been something she knows about Jesus that will make her come. You don't just hear that people are passing by, you rush towards them. So she heard something and she acted on it. So primarily the first thing is hearing. It's knowledge. Getting in something to yourself. That's why we're doing this teaching. Hearing. I get what I'm saying? Are you following me? That's why the word of God is so important. In your journey of healing, the word of God is so important. You know, let me say this to you. God is not a magician. And many of us want to treat God like magicians. When we have a need, we'll come to him and start praying. God has a pattern of what he does. He does nothing except by his word. So you don't want to be in church. You don't want to listen to gospel. You don't want to read books. You don't want to expose your mind. You don't want to read your Bible. To expose your mind to the word of God. But suddenly, you want God to give you something. How? Everything he has given you is found in his word. So when you need whatever, say, okay, so when I need that, should I read the Bible? Well, read it, you don't understand it, don't worry. It is by taking in God's word consistently. You hear it, then you can be healed. Number two, so first I say you must hear the word. Number two, you must believe what you heard. You must believe what you heard. Because it's not enough to hear, and that's where I'm going to make some statements. You must believe what you heard. You know, in Mark 11 verse 23, that popular scripture, Jesus talking to them, he said, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, they shall whatever he said. It's faith. So you hear something, you believe it. You hear that God is a healer, you believe it. You hear that God heals all kinds of sicknesses, you believe it. You hear that God can change people's life, you believe it. What you hear, then you believe. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 26, this is building up to somewhere. Matthew 9 and verse 26. And the fame, I started from 26 for a reason. The fame thereof went abroad into all that land. The fame of who? The fame of Jesus. So, of course, things happened previously. Go to verse 25. But something happened. Aha. This was when he raised a dead child. Are you following me? Verse 26, his fame went round. Then verse 27, when Jesus departed, then two blind men followed him, crying, thou son of David, have mercy. Why were they asking to have mercy on them? They heard about that dead child that rose. Are you following me, everybody? His fame went round. The blind men now said, so what have you heard about Jesus? How much information do you have? So when you now get information, they say, have mercy on us. Verse 28. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I'm able to do this. That's how it starts. You hear something. The next question is, do you believe that God can do it? Do you believe what you heard? Well, people hear things and don't believe it. Oh, glory to God. Praise the Lord. You know, I was preaching somewhere, and then I was praying, and someone that had a broken arm got fixed. Somebody in the crowd is saying, yeah. They don't forge him. That's why he will not receive his own healing when he needs it. What have you heard about Jesus? And do you believe what you heard? I guess follow me this morning. Do you believe? So Jesus first asked them, do you believe I'm able to do this? They now said, yeah, Lord. So if they did believe I was able to do it, he wouldn't be able to do it. I guess follow me this morning. Believe thou that I'm able to do this. Unbelief is the major reason people don't get healed. Unbelief, and that's why I'm going to show how to deal with unbelief. Unbelief is the major reason. Matthew 13:58. Unbelief is the major reason. Because we've just heard about Jesus, where Bible says he healed all. Look at this. He did not many mighty works there because of unbelief. So Jesus, we know that has been healing them all. Goes to this particular place and didn't do much. Why? Unbelief. Unbelief is the reason people don't get healed. And I'll still show you later from this story how to cure unbelief. It's not hard. The major reason people don't get healed is unbelief. Probably I can't help you of this. He did not many mighty works there because of the unbelief. And so he did only a few miracles there because of the unbelief. Only a few. So who are the few he selected? The few that believed him. I do miracle meetings. Sometimes when I do miracle meetings, I tell people, you don't need to have faith. Amen? Once you are here, the anointing is going to work out. You're going to be fine. Now that is true. But that's not also a very complete truth. But there's a reason we say that. I actually learned that from Catherine Kuhlman. She comes to that meeting and says, you don't need to have faith. Once I hear, one reason is that is the working of the anointing. Sometimes when the anointing is working, it's just operating like that. But then also observe that when you tell people you don't need to have faith, once you're here, you'll be healed. They actually have faith eventually. I know what I'm talking about. And what that statement does sometimes is to remove the pressure. You know, some people see this faith thing as a hard thing. Am I sure I have faith? Am I sure I don't have faith? What if my faith is not enough? You know that kind of struggle. No, that's what I'm saying. So when we make that statement, people just, I don't need to have it. It's okay, Father, I believe you. They're actually having faith. Because if you do not believe that this is possible, not one place in the Bible did Jesus tell any sick person, my faith has made you whole. Not once. He always says, your faith. Are you guys following what I'm saying? You gotta read the Bible. Not one place did he say, my faith, like as Jesus, my faith has told him. He always says, your faith. So he told them, do you believe? They said yes. So Jesus gets to the city, he didn't do many, just a few miracles because of their unbelief. Amplify Classic, in other translation, because of their unbelief. And he did not do many works of power there because of their unbelief, their lack of faith in the divine mission of Jesus. So they were in unbelief and they limited the miracle working power of God. Not because power wasn't present, but it couldn't work for them in their own lives because they themselves were in unbelief. Say, I'm a man of faith. Say, I am a man of faith. It doesn't mean that the believer can lack faith. The believer cannot lack faith. But the believer can walk in unbelief. Just like the believer can never be in the flesh. The believer is always in the spirit. But the believer can walk in the spirit at times and not walk in the spirit at other times. So you have faith. But you must actively be in faith and act in faith. If you're going to have your healing. Unbelief is the measure. Unbelief is the measure. So how do I deal with unbelief? How do I start believing? It's very simple. First step. I go back to my first point. Repetitive hearing. The cure to unbelief is repetitive hearing. You must hear. You don't say, I want to. I rebuke every man of unbelief. Mm-mm. You must repetitively hear the word. It is continuous hearing that eliminates doubts. It is continuous hearing of the same truth that eliminates unbelief. That's not something that I'm trusting God for healing here and does not come. You might have to get something like this thing I'm doing now. So that you have to stay on these things for months. Repetitive hearing. Mark 4, verse 24. Hallelujah. Mark 4, verse 24. And he said to them, take it what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. Put up and amplify classic of this. Everybody watch. I've read this before. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. So you know this enough to say, I heard something. How much have you heard? How much meditation have you given it? How much has it settled in your heart? That's what will determine the virtue that will come back to you. So you see what I'm saying? You see what all of you are hearing this morning? Different people are receiving this message this morning at different frequencies. Yeah. It's not the same thing. What is happening to you is not happening to your neighbor now. Some are not even interested. Some don't even know why they're still talking. Some are not catching what you are saying. Some think they are catching everything, but they are not. Sometimes it's not when you replay this message again and again, by the fourth time, say, was I even in this program? Because you now begin to hear other things. You are not giving it attention, thought, and study. Are you following me this morning? So you want to deal with unbelief. You see the word. Repetitive hearing. There's something I said I was going to show you. I almost skipped it. Repetitive hearing. Repetitive hearing. Mark 6 verse 4. Let's look at that story we read in Matthew 13 from Mark's account. Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor. So he went to his own hometown. They didn't believe him. So he told them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. So they didn't believe him. And he could dare do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and heal them. So when you see Matthew saying that he did not do many mighty works there, it's not like he was praying and miracle was not happening. He just does not pray, miracle not happen. He just didn't bother laying hands on some of them because they were not in faith. I feel what I'm saying, you know. He selected the people that he knew they would believe him and pray for them. But then what did Jesus do afterwards? Did he go home? No. See the next verse. And he marveled there. He marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. Because how to cure unbelief is teaching. So when he saw unbelief there, what did he do? He prayed for a few persons. He knows it's not time to start working miracle. He went about teaching. Who is following me at all? It is that repetitive teaching that will eliminate that unbelief and eventually have miracles happen. And that's why if you are here and you despise the word of God and you are expecting mighty miracles in your life, you are just playing. You think that one day your finance is going to change suddenly. You are playing. Because you are in unbelief. You are in doubt. Answer, but I believe in my heart. Do you? Because life always tests what we say we believe. You see people that say, I believe that God is a healer. You know, it's not enough to hear that God is a healer. At least everybody on earth believes God is a healer, except you're an atheist. But everybody believes God is a healer. But then, when the situation comes, you see whether they really believe or they don't believe. Amen. When they say, oh, we've diagnosed your heart cannot work. What you are seeing is 5 months maximum you are gone. They will now begin to ride their wheel. That's what we show. That's when we know. That's why it's good to take so much of the word. From those that I can emphasize this. So much of the word into your system. Whether you are sick or not. Repetitive hearing is building faith. Because people, I know if you are sick and you're taking the word, it's okay. But the best thing to do is to have so much word in your system. Whether you are sick or not. Learn God's word. Learn God's word. That's what I want to say to you. If you are too busy to read your Bible, you are too busy to listen to messages, you are too busy to read Christian books, you are too busy to be in church, can I announce to you, you are too busy for your own good. You are too busy. I don't see why a Christian cannot be in church for at least 2 times in a week. I don't see why. You are combating a full-time devil. And you're playing with your life. How much what do you... You feed your spirit man one cold snack every week. And feed your physical body 3 square meals. And you expect that you're going to be a solid Christian. When things come... I'll send it on Thursday. Immune system. Just eat well. Your immune system will be strong. That same way in the spiritual. You want to have a strong immune system in the spirit. Eat well and your food is God's word. Are you getting what I'm saying? You must throw yourself into the word of God. Because you know the truth of the matter, when you are listening to God's word, you are changing. You just don't know that something is changing until the situation comes up. You just don't know. You just don't know. You just don't know. You know, one of our dear ones was telling me why he was in the hospital, you know, and just this last week. And the result they gave him was not sweet. It's something that showed that he was going, a part of his body was going to be totally damaged in a couple of years. Doctor said, this is not looking good. And he was just calm. He was just calm. Doctor explained, he was just sitting. Say, okay. And the mom came and said, did you understand what I said? And the doctor came and asked him, are you a pastor? Yeah. And he said, no. He said, I'm not a pastor. He said, I'm not a pastor. He said, but you're a believer. He said, yes. He said, because your calmness. Now, it's when such things happen that we know how much the word has taken root inside of you. From what you are seeing, your leg will no longer work in the next 2 years. Oh, my Jesus. You now begin to browse how much is wheelchair. How much is wheelchair? How much is... Maybe your profession is... Maybe you're a banker. Do bankers accept people on wheelchair? You see what is happening is your heart has been so trained against the word of God. It is continuous hearing of the word. Possibly that guy didn't know he was that calm. He didn't know he was like that. But immediately that thing manifested, it will show how much of God's word has been going into your system. Feed on the word. That's what we eliminate doubt. That's what we deal with unbelief. So when Jesus got to that village and found out that they didn't believe in him, you know, Matthew stopped at, he didn't do many mighty works, but Mark gave further details that he now went around about the villages teaching, because how to deal with that unbelief he saw was to start teaching them. Are you following me? So when there is unbelief, when you can't seem to have a hold of whatever God is offering you, what does it call for? It's not guilt. It's not to say, hey, I'm in doubt. Oh, that's also another level of unbelief. Throw yourself into the world. One of our dear ones wrote me. I just saw that. I think that was yesterday also. And I've not even attended to it. But he said, the dad was diagnosed of this, that. He said, Dad, we know what to do. We are sending him a gift. The gift is an Android phone filled with all our messages. What a way to gift people. And that's thoughtfulness at its best. So I've sent them a phone filled with your messages. What puts that kind of idea in people's head? Amen. Because it is the word that will cure that unbelief. Are you following me, friends? Stay on God's word. Feed on God's word. So you deal with unbelief by God's word. I can also show you other ways to deal with unbelief. Maybe two more. Prayer. Now, listen to this. Now, the mistake people make when they hear that prayer is unbelief is that they begin to pray. You can't pray against unbelief. And I reject this unbelief. You can't hear God's word. But as you're hearing God's word, be praying. There is something prayer does. Of course, the things you are hearing will now begin to make more sense to you as you pray. As you spend your time praying, you see, those things will stay more, will carry more weight. You know, there is a scripture I saw, and I just feel I should talk about it today, because it's something that I've been misunderstood in many places. Matthew 17, verse 19. It's a dicey scripture because, in fact, many of your Bibles do not even record it. Because there is an argument of whether it is found in the original and all that. Then came the disciples to Jesus and said, this was when they tried to cast out the devil and they failed. So they came to him and said, why could you not cast him out? Why couldn't we cast out this devil? And Jesus, what did Jesus answer them? Because of what? Because of your unbelief. The verse that is in contention is verse 21. We're getting there, but stay here for now. This one is in every book of the Bible. Because of your unbelief. So why did they not have results in casting out that devil? Jesus said it's the unbelief. For verily I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. So what was the context of conversation here? Unbelief and faith. Now verse 21, which is the verse people are contending with. How be this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fast. This is the verse people normally hold on to say there are different kinds of demons, there are different kinds of sicknesses, there are some that will not go until you pray and fast. That's rubbish. Did you hear what I said? Jesus told them that why that demon didn't go was because of their unbelief. This verse now says, how be this kind of what? That's the question you ask. This kind of unbelief goeth not but by prayer and fasting. The point of contention there was unbelief, not the demon. So sometimes when there is so much doubt, sometimes you throw yourself into prayer and do some kind of fasting. Come on, you can't find the doubt. Does it happen to you sometimes? You know, prayer gives you strange confidence. Ah, when we do 4 hours prayer drive, you're looking for demons to kill. So it's not this kind of demon. Mm-mm. So how do you know that? Don't you know how to read in context again? Verse 20, he gave them the reason why couldn't they cast him out? Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a kind of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. How be this level of unbelief? Because if you read that story, it's a manifestation of unbelief all over the place. Because even when Jesus asked that man, do you believe? The man said, I believe, help my unbelief. You know, there was so much doubt in the atmosphere. So, deal with that thing that makes you feel like there are levels where you cast out, so you heal some sicknesses. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in it. Do you know the first mission work Jesus sent the disciples, the first, they were not even praying in tongues then. They healed cripples, lepers. Jesus said, raise the dead, heal the lepers. First mission work. But suddenly in our generation now, to heal headache, you pray for 1 hour. To heal, what sickness now? To heal malaria, 2 hours. But if you want to begin to swim in the realm of healing cancer, you can't be praying for 14 hours. I've heard those crazy things. I don't believe in it. It's rubbish. And you better deliver yourself from that mental slavery. See, you have to pray for 17 hours. What's wrong with you people? Who made those laws? Who gave the hours? The Lord said, so I heard the man of God say, before you break into before you have breakthrough in prayer, you must pray for 21 days at least. That is when you pray for 21 days. That is that, you know the reason? Because when Daniel was contending and the prince of Persia held him, that Daniel prayed for 21 days. People are shouting, hey, hey, in the meeting. In my mind, these guys are getting deeper into bondage because you will not pray for 21 days. To start with, you are not a full-time pastor. Are you? Are you not a student? I can't pray for 21 days. Don't you work? So you take permission from work. I will not be around for 20 days. Why? I want to pray. So I don't say, you know, the way they will sack you. You come back and be crying at the altar. Father, a new job. No job is coming. God will keep you jobless for at least 1 week, 1 month. So you feel it. Those things are just things that keep us in bondage. There is something prayer does. As you are studying the word and you are praying, it's helping, it's strengthening your faith. Does it not happen to you? That when you pray over a period of time, it's easier to trust God for some things. So prayer helps with unbelief. So it's not like prayer is going to make you fit to cast out devils. No. Prayer is just helping you. I get the point. Whether I've prayed or not, no demon can stand though. The only thing is that if I've not prayed and I've not studied my Bible, I will not even believe that the demon can go. So the demon will not respond because of the state of my own heart. And even if the demon responds, because of the state of my heart, I don't even know he has responded. I was sitting, the demon is still there. So it's all going on in the heart. Are you following what I'm saying, anybody? So it's unbelief we are dealing with. So prayer will help. Of course, I will also add confession. Confessing God's word deals with unbelief. Confessing, what I confess? You're confessing that thing that you heard. Remember I started with hearing. That thing you heard. Of course, the woman with the issue of blood is another example. As she was coming, she kept saying to herself, if I touch. So what happened to that woman was what she kept saying to herself. She kept saying, if I touch. So that woman, you see everything I'm teaching you here, she heard. She believed what she heard. And she started saying, Mark 5:28, if I touch. She kept saying to herself. She wasn't telling it to anybody. So sometimes when you hear something, in the process of trying to believe it, as you are hearing, let me show you what to do. Here, as you are hearing God's word, be praying the same time, be confessing it a lot. Prayer, confession, and repetitive hearing will lift you from that place of unbelief and keep you in the place of faith. So faith, believe what you heard. And of course, what then do you do after you believe what you heard? At this point, healing is not yet happening. You are just training your heart in faith. All of this can happen in a very short while. I'm just trying to, I just break down so you understand. Now, of course, the next thing now is to pray. You pray or you are prayed for. Whichever one, there must be prayer. Because I want to understand this. Just hearing God's word about healing will not heal you. Because sicknesses, demons will only respond to the orders that you give them. So knowing that God can heal, I accept that God is a healer. We'll still make you sick. There must be a time of you using your mouth to say, in the name of Jesus, you sickness, get out of my body. Either you do that to somebody who's doing that to you. That pastor is praying for you, a minister is praying for you, a friend is praying for you, or you're praying for yourself. But there must be prayer before there is healing. Now, this type of prayer is not the type of prayer I said deals with unbelief. This one is where you're not giving orders in prayer. You're giving authority. James 5 tells us, verse 15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. This one is called prayer of faith. So, how do you pray that kind of prayer? Direct instructions.
There's a pain on my leg. In the name of Jesus, pain be gone. You see, when you are now praying like that, you have so much word. You so much believe that that you said will happen because you actually been taking in concern to your system. When you are now speaking, it's coming from not just from your head. It's coming from a place of faith. Pain be gone. I get to the point. So I just want to show you. Don't just say I've heard the word and I'm not yet healed. Speak to that sickness. Just like you are learning about finances, you learn how God prospers. When you hear it enough and you believe it, speak to your finance. How it works in the realm of the spirit is anything you did not, any instruction you did not give will not happen. Authority not used is like authority not present. So you must have a time of saying, okay, I've seen that God wants me to prosper. I've seen that the devil is after my finances. I've seen that I have authority over the devil. All of this you've seen has still not changed nothing. So you now stand up in the name of Jesus. You foul devil, oppressing my finance, take your hands off. Right now I release angels to go and bring in the supply, to bring in the resources. Right now I pray that men begin to favor me and things begin to turn in my favor. Right now I'm declaring that the job is mine, that doors are open. Right now I call the customers to come from wherever and to come and patronize my goods. Right now I'm declaring that the doors shut against me have now opened supernaturally. What are you doing? You are now giving direction to the power of God. Oh, are you what I'm talking about? You are giving direct, because Bible tells us the effectual heartfelt prayer of the righteous man make a tremendous power available. Amplified Classic said, dynamic in its working. So that power you make available is dynamic in its working. What it means is it can do many things, but it can only do per time what you instructed it to do. So it's not just enough to say, I've heard God's word on healing. Have you commanded yet? Have you spoken to that sickness in your body yet? That pain in your hand, you know why it's still there? Maybe you've not spoken to it. As we are closing, you must put your hand on that sickness in the name of Jesus. Out of my body. I've allowed you for so long. So you pray. So you've heard God's word, you believe now. Talk to that sickness. You pay. You stay no more in this world. You ear that has been blocked for long. You stay no more. So either you are praying, don't worry, see, or someone is praying for you. But there must be prayer. There must be command, because demons will only respond when you give instructions. Healing is happening here. Even as I'm saying this, I can really sense it very strong. And I'm saying this, healing is happening already. So you've been hearing what we've been teaching from the first day. That's why you see, I said with hearing. After this kind of message that you go home, don't you just gonna sit down, get the mechanic and begin to listen to them. Write, get all those scriptures that you wrote down, begin to study them one by one by yourself. What is happening? The word is taking root in your heart. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So let means is your job. You now feed, as you are feeding, it stays and takes mighty root in your heart. You've come to believe it. You've been confessing it. It's not time to act. Hey, you foul devil, out of my body. I command my eyes to respond. I command my ears to respond. I command my organs. In the name of Jesus, you begin to speak. If you want a new organ, you can say, Father, I want a new eye. I want a new ear. You speak. There must be that speaking. Because it's that you're speaking that will now give direction to the power that you've been generating. Are you following me? But of course, you can pray more than once. I wanted to add that. You can pray more than once. You instruct, it doesn't go, you go again. Or you go, you just went small, you go again. You're not in unbelief. What you are doing is that you are just insisting. And there's nothing wrong with insisting for what is yours. Jesus prayed more than once. Prayed for a man, Mark chapter 8, verse 22. And asked the man, what do you see? The man said, I see men as trees. And he prayed for the man again. Are you following me? Hallelujah. And then finally, let me put it the way I want to say it. When you pray, you now receive. Now, receiving is not a passive thing. That's what I want to show you. So how do I receive? If I give you something, how do you receive? Do you receive passively? If I hand this handkerchief over to you, for you to receive it, you must do something. What should you do? You must stretch your hand at least, Abby. Sometimes you have to stand up and come to where I am. So all, get see the process, hearing, you are taking God's word into your system. It brings you to a place of faith. All this I've been saying, confess the word, just to bring you to a place of faith. The real job is now you've spoken the word. When you've not spoken the word, the healing has happened. You now receive it. And that receiving is now where we talk about action. People say, some people call it acting on your faith. You now, as every faith must have corresponding action. You can't claim to believe if there is no action backing it up. Hallelujah. If I tell these people sitting here now that there is a big cobra under the seat. Amen. There's a cobra here. Do you believe it? Are you doubting your pastor? I'm saying there's a cobra here. The secret is this. Some of them might even say, yeah, we believe. But they don't believe. If they believe, they won't say it. Before I'm done saying that it's a cobra that outside. Because when you believe, there must be action that will show that you believe. That takeoff that they will take off is to show that they actually believe what I'm saying. But I'm saying there's a cobra, I say, yeah. We think so too. Because there are five levels of cobra, like five types of cobra. They don't believe it. That's what people do with healing. Say, I believe. If your legs are broken, and I say you've been healed, and you really believe you've been healed, you will raise those legs. Action. There must be an action to show. You are not acting out what you believe. Jesus told them, Mark 11:23. Oh, hallelujah. Put it up. Mark 11:23. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. This is prayer now. So you pray. And shall not doubt in his heart. So the guy pray, he believes. But shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall forever say. Verse 24. Look. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe. What do you believe? That you will receive them? That's not what he said. Put up like NLC. I don't know whether. Read with me. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, so you don't believe that you will receive. You believe that you have received. So it's when you believe that you have received that you will not have. And that believing that you have received, action backs it up. This is the reason I explain this all the time. That when we pray for you, we say, check yourself. Try reading with your eyes. That attempt at all to read with your eyes is saying, I believe that the prayer worked. But there are people you finish praying for in the hospital. See, you are not healed. They say, amen. That the ones that want to ask you, will you come and check on us next week? You know what that statement means? They don't believe nothing. Somehow they believe that they will be there by next week. You know, imagine praying for someone and say, I believe I've been healed. I say, I'll give my house address. Please come next week. We'll be at home by then. Oh, it means the person believes that healing power is working now. So Peter and John met that man in Acts chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 5. The man looked at them like he was told to receive it from them. Verse 6. Peter says, see for gold we do not have. But such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up
and walk. But you see, that man, he did not, nothing worked. Notice that man, he says, sir, but all this thing you taught us now, do not appear in this verse. What time did this man have to believe? To hear the word. This is a narrative, I'll show you. Know. But at least the narrative shows us that they spoke to the man. In verse 6. Verse 5, they told him, look on us. Verse 4, rather, look on us. Verse 5, the man began to look at them, expecting to see something. Verse 6, they clarified, we're not about to give you money. We want to give you something else. So there was a time of explanation, no matter how short. We don't know how short or how long, but empire was, they spoke to him. Are you following me? Then after they spoke to him, what did they do next? They prayed. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And what should follow that? Action. What was the action? Verse 7. They took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Because he must act on what he has believed. If that's which people from my master down there say, I'm healed in Jesus' name. Oh, man, thank you. No? Oh, thank you. Oh, Mama Jesus. Thank you. He will still be sitting down there. So they wanted the man to act. They raised him up. That's why as you are praying, there's a growth in your body. As you are praying, Shalom Bradekaya, be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone and you touch it. Be gone in the name of Jesus. You touch it. You keep speaking. Because as you are speaking, you expect it. And you are acting. Are you expecting a miracle? Always expect a miracle. That's why, for instance, in the area of finances, you cannot, for instance, claim to be in faith for finances and not taking action. If I declare over you now, oh, this month is a month of speed, your finances will speed up. One of the ways to show that you believe what I said, that I'll be renewed vigor, new action you're going to start taking. You might now start selling, bringing out your goods the more, advertising the more. You will start, become monstrous, start coming out early to shop, start applying for stuff the more, because you believe that God's word has gone forth. If you're not doing all those things, you don't believe what I said. Because you can't say you believe that you're sitting down. I know what I'm saying. So that's what people say, I was in faith. Mm-mm. If you are in faith, two things that you cannot associate with faith. Remember, silence and inactivity. You can never associate them with faith. Faith is never silent. Faith is never inactive. Faith keeps talking. I believe I've received. If I may but touch the hem of his garment. You keep talking. And then when prayer goes forth, you take action. So that's why I don't pray for you. The instruction that may come, maybe raise your hand. Dance. Run. Shake yourself. Shake yourself. As you are doing that, you are exercising. That acting on the faith of God is now what brings you to the healing. Remember, you believe that you have received and you shall have. So someone can receive and not have. Because he doesn't believe that he has received. So for many people, their answers have been delivered in the spirit, but they don't have it in the physical. Because they don't know how to move from that place of doubt into the place of faith. Answers are here now. And as if there's any sickness in your body, you have a very short time. We are going to rebuke that devil. That tormenting devil, that thing that has been ravaging your health, messing with your mind. From Thursday, we'll start touching other things. So, somewhere in this series, I'm going to deal with emotional sicknesses. God has been telling me about emotional healing. God has been talking to me about it. Emotional, psychological healing. Because it's also part of the healing we received in Christ. You can't be sick in the head. Because that one is even more terrible than physical sickness. That one will produce physical sickness. You have a very messed up mind. That's why at Man Up and Perfect Lady, there's a teaching I do every year. For Man Up, I do healing the male child every year. For Perfect Ladies, I do healing hearts. Those two messages, they will even come this year. Because that God needs to reset some things. Healing is happening. You got to act on the word of God.
got to act on the word of God.
That's why sometimes we pray, you have HIV, we pray for you.
And when we're done, how do you test it? On Monday, run to the lab to do a test. You are acting on the word of God. Run to the lab to do a test.
That must be action that shows
that I believe. That I believe. That I believe.
So what if after believing and I test it and it's still there?
Not just for. Go the process again. Hear. Confess. Speak. 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 Declare. Rebuke. Check. See, let me tell you. God's word has never failed. And it will not be me that will testify that it failed. Because it won't fail with me. Do you want your healing this morning? Because you must show that you want it. Because I'm going to ask you to pray. I'm going to ask you to pray. I'm going to ask you to pray. Towards the last Sunday or second last Sunday, we're going to have a full healing service. But you see what the problem is now? That healing service time, everybody's going to come to receive healing. But now that we're trying to teach how these things work. But today what is going to happen is that you are going to heal yourself this morning. I'm going to lead you. You are going to pray and you will see how things will leave your system. Pains in the body, pains, things, surgeries will be conducted in here this morning. Because I sense strongly the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. Stand to your feet, come on. Mendalo bronde shingra batingra batelia mbroto shakataya. Ina matude beshine bom via kamproto le kasotaya. Ele gogom brateya. Pray the Holy Ghost all over this place. I want you to take 3 minutes, fill this place with tongues. On top of your voice, not to any sickness, just pray the Holy Ghost. Fill this place. We are about to get into some serious testimonies now. Just pray the Holy Ghost all over this place. Shebelebe kumbra de la bayadish.
Restoration from your head to your eyes, to your ear, to every part, to your organs, to your stomach, to your bones, every part of your body. I declare total restoration in the name of Jesus. Fevers are gone, migraines are gone, stomach. stomach pains are gone. Heart conditions are healed. Eye conditions are sorted. Air conditions are fixed. Every pain, adiga, pretune, shimataya, even what they cannot explain, what they don't have a name for, God is getting to that particular sickness and is dealing with it and is leaving your system now in the name of Jesus. Begin to shout in the Holy Ghost all over the place. Do what I say. Begin to shout in the Holy Ghost. Begin to shout. Begin to shout in the Holy Ghost. For the sickness, look for the healing. Do whatever you're going to do with your body before check with every pain in your body. If you're going to squat, you squat. If you're going to move, you move. Whatever you're going to do with your body, you're going to do it now. Healing power is working. Healing power is working. Mightily in this place. Hallelujah. You checked yourself, you won't find the sickness again. If you've confirmed the healing, let me see your hand. You've checked, where's it there? You've done. Hallelujah. If you check to confirm your healing, keep checking. I'm seeing one or two hands. This is you now that prayed for yourself. I want you to do it yourself. Now, raise it if you've confirmed your healing. Wave it very well. Thank you. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Raise it very well. Hallelujah. Wave it very well. Glory to God. Wave it very well. Just keep it up. Keep it up. Check for your healing. Try with it with your eyes. Try checking whatever. Ushers get those testimony slips. As many hands that are up, give them. We cannot call people up here now. Keep checking for your healing. Check, 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 check. Pains are gone. Okay, I'm seeing one of those on the stage. You have a growth in your body, that growth just dissolved now, just disappeared. So if you raise your hand, you just check your healing, you can't find the sickness, you stop again. They're going to give you a slip. Once they give you that slip, you write your testimony. So that we can share them. There's a hand there. Can we celebrate Jesus in this place? Keep shaking yourself. Keep shaking yourself. I know some of you need to go to the hospital to check yourself. But then if it's what you can check here, yeah, check it. Check it. If they won't give you a sleep, just raise your hand. Yes. That's someone on the stage too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you had a challenge with your bones, any part of your bones or your muscle or what have you, healing just happened. You need a sleep too. You had an issue with your bone, your muscle, or your ankle, and you are fine now. Okay. My dear. We were walking yesterday. Well, you're fine now. Move it. Glory to God. Get him a sleep. I need testimony. Hallelujah. Can we celebrate Jesus in this place, everybody? Your own healing is right in where you are. And let me tell you one of the things you do. Write these testimonies. Even if they collect this sleep, pick them outside there. Write testimonies, document them, and send them to us. As we are sharing these testimonies, much more will happen and your healing is staying. Nothing is taking it again. Even if you've been prayed for before and you've testified before, but then somehow it's recorded, but it's not coming back again now. Complete healing. Perfect healing. You know why? Because you know what to do. As you go back, you keep rejoicing, you keep testifying, you keep declaring it. Healing power is working in me. Life of God is working in me. There's no sickness in my system. You continue like that and like that. And we will celebrate your testimonies. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands. God is bringing you to the perfect health. A perfect health. Healing is working in your system. Full restoration. Those of you that are online following, that healing power is working where you are. To what you do online, you send us a message, send me a message. Send a message to my mail. They will be sharing the mail that you would use on the comment section. Send a message of your own healing, your own testimony. Let's know what God is doing for you. Much more is happening. This is not just, we still have healing service, but this is you that spoke about that sickness and it is gone. By the healing service, much more things will happen here. Hallelujah. God's power is here. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Our Rapha has come and we are staying in perfect health. I said our Rapha has come and it's keeping us in perfect health. There is someone I need to talk to. Stop postponing your healing to the healing service. You can get it here now. Stop saying, okay, when healing service comes, pass me. Now. Healing is dying. Pick it up. Receive it by faith. Hallelujah. I'm fully restored. The life of God is working in me. I'm full of life. No sickness in me. No death in me. I'm alive. Glory! Hallelujah. Are you blessed in this service? Glory to God.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.